Welcome to the Driven Young podcast with Byron Dempsey, dedicated to educating and inspiring the younger generation around entrepreneurship and practical life skills we aren't taught in school. Created for young people who seek direction in establishing their goals and passions, this podcast provides a platform for discussing the steps taken by professionals in their field related to handling finances, making money online, starting a business, growing a network, and much more. And now your host, Byron Dempsey.
Welcome back to the show, guys. Today's guest is a good friend of mine. Ronzi is a producer of the audio documentary, The Psychology of Entrepreneurship. He is an international and TED speaker and the author of the book, Amplify, How to Raise Your Voice, Boost Your Brand, and Grow Your Business. Ronzi is the founder of an audio marketing agency, Amplify, which focuses on giving brands a voice. He also hosts the largest podcasting event in the Southern Hemisphere, which I attended back in 2018 and it gave me the idea to start this show. In this conversation, we dive deep into imposter monster or imposter syndrome, which everyone in the world faces and can be especially prominent with young people who don't have any experience. It's basically that voice in the back of your head saying, who am I to be doing this? Who am I to be applying for this job or going for this degree or whatever it is? We talk about getting your foot in the door, we chat about life, about business, and the opportunities us young people have nowadays. So now, over to Ronzi.
Ronzi, welcome so much to the podcast.
Thanks, man.
Super excited to cover this topic, which I've been wanting to cover for a while on this podcast.
Is it because you came to We Are Podcast last year?
Yeah. That was a big driving factor for starting the podcast, because I was like, met all these cool people, and I was just like, okay, this is something I want to do. Because literally, I launched it, 2 months ago? So this was like an 8-month period. It took me so long to get it started.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I had to plan it out, and then I wanted to do the whole video strategy. So that was a whole thing I had to systemize.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk, I could put spreadsheets of all the topics I wanted to cover.
Yeah.
And then like I did the branding done and everything. And finally got it launched, so
nice.
But yeah, We Are Podcast was a big driver, and like meeting Pat and Jordan and all those cool guys, I was like, yeah, this is cool.
Nice.
It's just a cool environment to be in.
Nice.
So, but yeah, I'm excited to talk about imposter monster or whatever whatever the name is.
I think imposter monster, people use different words. Is that imposter syndrome? It's actually not either one of those. It's actually, I think it's called imposter phenomenon or something. The actual psychology term. But yeah, man, I mean, you've been listening to the show. What questions do you have?
Yeah, so I mean, for anyone out there, Ronzi just launched a podcast, Psychology of Entrepreneurship, which is all about this imposter monster, like an audio documentary. I'm not sure, we're up to 11 episodes now.
Yeah, but it started off with the idea that, you know, I would explore what imposter syndrome was, really.
Yeah.
But it's moved on to way more than that. It's like, it's basically what goes on in the mind of a creative, an athlete, a performer, an entrepreneur, and what stops us or fuels us to make quicker decisions or slower decisions or move to wherever we want to do it. I think mainly for creatives, because I think, you know, creative people are extremely creative, but they don't know how to sustain that creativity.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to, you know, get money for it. And there's this whole notion of, if I sell my art, I'm selling my soul sort of thing. And
I think it's also like, you know, imposter syndrome, if we're to kind of bring it down, it's you're not doing something because you've got this thing in your head, like, who am I to be doing this? And so if we had like, you know, if someone like an engineer, which isn't a creative industry, they've got the degree, so it's like, I'm doing this because I've got my degree. With someone in a creative industry, they often might not have a piece of paperwork that shows them that they're qualified to do this, and they're just doing it, and it's kind of like, who am I to be designing for Vogue? Who am I to be doing whatever it is?
Yeah, I think there are two levels off that, especially in today's world of social media, how quickly things are being showcased. And if you look on Instagram, there's, you know, this, everyone puts up all the cool stuff, right?
So
everyone has this idea of what success looks like. So that voice is actually really good, because it should keep us grounded. That voice doesn't necessarily go away. The voice is, you're meant to make friends with that voice, because it keeps you grounded. What I mean by grounding is, if you have never, you know, done a podcast before, or if you have never done video before, you have never put out content before, that imposter syndrome is really important in those scenarios, because I don't know whether you've ever tried surfing. Have you ever tried surfing?
Recently? I moved next to the beach, so I've tried it. Yeah. I'm terrible.
What's really interesting is when we go surfing for the first time, we expect to ride that board.
Mm.
We think that it's going to be, I'm going for a class. I am going to ride it initially, right? And then you get there and you realize, wait, my top part of my body is not connected to the bottom part of my body. There's a whole bunch of different things that you need to learn and understand and figure out before you can stand up on that board. And I think that's the same. And I think what tends to happen in entrepreneurship, especially with social media, is that we have that illusion that it's easy, right? And we go, well, if that 18-year-old could do it,
why can't I?
So it must be easy because that guy's got a great life. So and he's sipping margaritas in Bali, so it must be easy. But what work has this person done to get to that point?
Because Instagram is just sipping margaritas in Bali and he's on the beach and everything, but you're not seeing him on the computer in the office or doing whatever he is for however long.
Right, and what he or she has done to allow that platform to do what it's doing. I mean, I say this a lot. Amplify is the overnight success that took 11 years to build.
Mm.
I don't know how many people know about the hard part of the journey necessarily, or even pay attention to the hard part of my journey.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying, I mean, to give me sympathy, I think they should pay attention to it because I don't know whether there's an easy path necessarily. You know, some things come easily because you worked for it.
Yeah.
But
it's also good because it's like, okay, if I want to get here, I've got to work as hard as this guy. And so you're seeing how hard they really are working. You can either go, I don't want to work that hard, I'm going to do something else.
Right.
Or you can go, I'm willing to work that hard, I want to do it. But the problem is, as you mentioned, we don't see them working hard. We just see the outcome. So we're like, I want to try this. You'll give up after a few months, or you won't, you know, your friends will make fun of you or whatever it is.
And we also have the tendency to say, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be the Gary Vee, or I want to be the whoever else, right? Mm. But we're not asking, well, what are the reps that Gary Vee has done, you know, to be able to do what Gary Vee does today? And are we willing to put those reps in? And the chances are we're not.
And if you listen to his reps, I'm not willing to do that. If you listen to, you know, he always talks about how he didn't work, you know, took like 3 or 4 days off in his entire 20s and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't want that. Like, I want to have a good business and have all the success, but not at the cost of...
But see, that's really important.
Freedom.
The point is that as is someone young, right, it's super important to respect the platform.
Mm.
The platform that you've been given, that you have the fucking choice to say that. Gary did not have that choice. I did not have that choice. A lot of people don't have that option as a choice even. So be privileged and feel privileged that you have that option to make that choice. And I think that's important.
Oh, 100%. I'm always saying, like, you know, with social media, can be really dark and create a lot of social anxiety and mental health stuff, but it's also got huge benefits. You know, we can skip years and years of work with social media. We can educate ourselves with podcasts like this, or in YouTube. I've learned so much of YouTube. All my video skills came from YouTube, and like Peter McKinnon and all these amazing YouTubers who put out video content around how to create videos and stuff.
Right.
And yeah, so I think we're able to skip working 10 years in your liquor store, you know, working hard to build these skills, and we can learn them a lot quicker. We can read books and get access to all this education and, you know, use social media to build a business versus what you didn't have, or what, you know, people
but information is only, I mean, there's no shortage of information, right? I mean, we can read a whole bunch of stuff and
you don't
have all the plans and all that kind of stuff, but it's in the execution that the real learning happens, because you know, even like doing something like, you know, half a marathon, for example, like I need to do certain things on a regular basis for in 16 weeks to be able to even attempt to cross that line. And if I don't, it's going to be extremely hard. And I think for entrepreneurship, maybe those reps are not clear.
No, they're incredibly unclear, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, how do you become a successful entrepreneur? Yeah. Or how do you build your own business? Or, you know, even in creative industry, it can be quite unclear because there's no structure. And that's kind of like where I'm kind of, you know, it's my problem with the education system, is they're only accommodating to the education system, how it's been for the past 50 years, they're only accommodating to doctors, engineers, lawyers, traditional paths, which is great if that's what you want to do. But if it's not, it's very unclear. And, that's why it's kind of like a thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing my own thing. And people will be like, oh, so you're unemployed or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that culture is changing. And I think it's important to hear those things, too, because, you know, I'm almost going to be 40 now. So it's like I feel old in the entrepreneurship game, even though I'm like a juvenile in the entrepreneurship game, compared to a lot of other people who've been here for a lot longer. But I was super cocky in the initial stages of my entrepreneurship journey because I didn't know any different. Like I didn't know that I could fall in the water and drown, as an example. Like, because I was naive, right? I was just like, oh yeah, I can run, I can sprint for, a kilometer easy. When you start and you get to 100 meters, you realize, wait, this is not really easy.
Yeah.
So that's why the imposter syndrome, when you're thinking about it, is super important, because we get cocky, especially young people.
Yeah.
That's why insurance is more expensive for under 25, is because 100%. We have that blood that rushes through our head. And I suppose one of the things that I wish I had earlier was more humility.
Yeah.
I think.
How do you think you achieve humility? Like, how have you helped achieve it now? Is it by interviewing all these people and learning from them?
I feel like I've had different stages of learning humility. I don't think I'm entirely humble necessarily. I think anyone is learning.
Yeah.
To be more humble. And I don't know what that line is. You know, I don't know whether it's like a tall poppy syndrome versus humility. I don't know where that is. And I'm still trying to figure that out for me. And I think one of the most recent ones was like just to respect myself. I think I was really, really disrespectful to me for like 38 years of my life. But before that, I think 3 months after getting married, to have like a business shut at $500,000 in debt was really humbling.
Yeah.
Not at the time.
But looking back on it.
Yeah. I mean, I told someone the story this morning at breakfast that I went from never wanting to be married ever to wanting to get married in 3 days from meeting Rochelle.
Yeah, right.
So I would keep asking people, what's the role of a husband? And like a whole bunch of people told me provider. So it was provider, and that was the definition I got.
It's a very traditional, like the Bible sort of thing, like hunter provider. It's kind of different nowadays.
Yeah. And what happened was the world was like, well, learn to be a real provider sort of thing, and it's not only about the money. So I think that situation of being $500,000 in debt, 3 months married. And that was definitely a learning experience in humility.
That was from your restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you started the restaurant and it just went under and you're $500,000 in debt.
Yeah, I mean, we did service on Saturday night and on Sunday the locks were changed, and everyone kept telling me to talk to their lawyers, and I didn't have money to hire a lawyer to talk to other lawyers. So
yeah,
it was just one of those things that I had to walk away from everything. Including my grandmother's tablecloths that were left in the restaurant, because we couldn't enter. There was some issue with the building, and there was just a lock on the door. So, but it couldn't pay enough money for that kind of lesson.
Yeah, best thing it's happened to you. Yeah,
because I would be still be flipping burgers, behind this counter.
And that's something that I find is consistent between all my guests or anyone I follow online. All the people I consider successful and I look up to. They all have the same story. Something terrible, they've had something that's happened that at the time seems like the end of the world, but a few years later or a few months later or whatever it is actually, okay, now it's got me to where I am. And I needed that.
And also what's really interesting, Byron, that you bring that up, is that I don't think that necessarily changes.
Mm.
Right? I don't necessarily think it. And we are so hard on ourselves because we're like, oh, this shouldn't be happening to me because I should be successful. It should happen this way. It, like, I can't have failure. But everyone does it. Mm. Everyone goes through that failure, and whether it is big, like having $500,000 in debt, or whether it's small, where, you know, maybe one of your key people leave, or a client, whatever it is, whatever you feel is big and small, making sure that you know that you'll be fine and you'll be safe is super important, especially if you're in Australia. Like, like, are you kidding me?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is one of the best, I think it's one of the best countries in the world.
100%.
Like, I've been talking to this girl who's from America, and she's like, she's in love with it. She's talking, they don't have pay wave in America.
No.
All these little stuff. And you know, the health system is crazy. And it's like, appreciate, you know, and that's why I've said it to almost, they're probably getting sick if people listen to my podcast regularly, but I always say, take risks while you're young. Because as you said, if they take a risk while you're young and you fail, you go back to your parents' house, or you probably hadn't even moved out. Like, what have you lost?
Yeah.
Almost, probably not much. You haven't lost, like, for you, $500,000, you probably had, you moved back to your parents or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's, and you didn't, you know.
I didn't have the choice to move back to my parents. My parents were in India.
Yeah, well, but what if you had kids? What if you had responsibilities?
Oh, yeah, it's 100%. Like, it could have been way worse.
Could have been way worse, terrifying. And it's, so when you're young, take the risk and not try fail, but understand that when you fail, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset I've been shifting to. It's like, every time I have a failure, I'm like, okay, what can I learn from this? How can I prevent this from happening? What have I taken away from it?
But also, like, pay attention to the ego. Right?
Yeah.
Because the ego 100%. Is like making up all this bullshit about what other people, but no one gives a shit about your failure, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're the ones who, like, are being so hard on ourselves because some imaginary person that doesn't even exist, that, but that person is actually the voice in our head, really.
Mm.
You know, it's that, and it's crazy how the world is such a mirror experience of how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
So more and more, the psychology of entrepreneurship is allowing people to find out more about themselves so that they can just be at peace of being who they are, as opposed to being another whatever, you know,
aspiring to be someone else.
Right.
Like, focus on on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's super important.
Yeah.
I always ask a question at the end of the podcast, and I'll ask you, not now, but what's your one piece of advice? And a lot of people go towards that area, like, stop looking at everyone else, stop looking at the Instagram. You know, you have got to understand, it's that iceberg thing. You're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. You're not seeing everything they've had to do. You're not seeing the struggles or whatever they've had to go through to get there. And so stop comparing yourself to them. Everyone has struggles. You know, having highs and lows is being human.
Yeah.
If you didn't have highs and lows, it's like, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Yeah, 100%. And if you don't feel the highs and lows, it means, like, something wrong with your feelings.
Yeah.
And your emotions. And that's another thing. Like, emotions, I mean, especially for guys, we're not brought up in a way that we can decipher our emotions.
Yeah.
I had to get married to learn that I had emotions that were not happy or angry.
Yeah. 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 So, well, it's a whole kind of toxic masculinity thing, you know, growing up. And I think it's getting better.
Yeah.
But, you know, you grow up, especially as guys, you're going, as young guys, you don't, I still, like, I know it's okay to cry, but I still will try my best not to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to just kind of letting it come out.
Yeah, and I think crying is a step, but also truly saying what you feel and being okay if someone comes back and challenges that, because I think we stop ourselves from saying those things because we're scared that we might not have a defense, or we're scared what someone else might think of us, or whatever might be the scenario. And I am saying, especially if you're young, or it doesn't matter what age you are, to be honest, if you say it out loud, you have the choice to refine your argument. You know, you have the choice to actually say, this is what I stand for, and actually, you know, have purpose. And people are, it's interesting how we're trying to find purpose in our life, but forgetting that purpose comes from the first part of being purposeful is being who we really are. And more that's harder because of media showing us that we should be thinner. You know, it depends on which country you are, you should be fairer or darker than.
Yeah.
And there's all these different elements that force us to think that we're not good enough.
And that's what imposter monster is. The feeling you're not good enough, or you're not, like, kind of what I said earlier, like, who am I to be doing this?
So there's a really important like difference between having all the reps and not doing and doing it for the first time and feeling like I don't know whether I can do this as opposed to never have done any reps and kind of going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get it. So the top one is toxic. The first, the second one is toxic. It's like, it's fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem because there's a lot of people giving out that dumbass advice.
Yeah, and you can only, it's not long term.
Well, it's nothing. It's not even, it's not even short term. Like, it's just the worst advice that you can give anyone. Fake it till you make it is the worst advice. Because it can be taken in, be taken out of context.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I agree.
And
it's dangerous.
It's very, very, very dangerous. So I kind of want to make sure that when someone is referring to imposter monster or imposter syndrome or any of that stuff, it's not that.
Mm.
And there's a big difference.
So it's not, you know, we're not saying who am I to do it, you know, don't just go do it because I've just said who you know, you don't have imposter monster. It's you're saying you actually got to learn the steps. Don't do the fake it till you make it.
Yeah, you know? Do it with saying I'm a beginner. Like I'm learning this stuff. Like I'm learning. I'm a learner. So if you do it saying I'm learning this, not I'm an expert in this, then there's a difference.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, how many people have, you know, been on Facebook for 10 years and now are social media experts?
That's it's funny because I was incredibly lucky. You know, I came into the Dent community.
Yeah.
So my I didn't start off just by starting a business.
Right.
When I started off in the Dent community, the entrepreneur community, you know, we're both a part of, I was just doing videos and I was basically learning. I was going to all the workshops. I was for like a year, that I consider that my university.
Yeah.
For like a year and a half, 2 years before I actually started my company. I was a sole trader, so I was technically, you know, contracting stuff.
Yeah.
But like I was just learning and like absorbing it all in. And if I was to have started, that would have been terrifying and I would have failed, and this is say, but I don't think it would have been a good failure. It would have been like a okay, yeah, I need to go back and learn.
Yeah.
And so even then, I sort of think I learned enough when I started.
Yeah.
I still wish I prepared more. And I like, you know, for me, like if you're going to start your own marketing company, if you can get a job in a marketing agency, so you learn how it works, learn the systems, how do they do everything, and you'll be able to just sidestep all of that learning when you start.
I mean, Amplify. There was not an audio marketing agency before Amplify started. So we are the first audio marketing agency in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm not even making that up. Like, you know, Amplify is not a best-selling book. So I would never call it a best-selling book. But Amplify is the first audio marketing agency in the world. So I could not go to a client and say, hey, pay me $5,000 a month because I'm going to do audio marketing. I did not do that. I actually said, I don't even have a name for my company. But this is what I want to do. And I intend that it's going to be $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
But as a starting point, as a beta, I'm taking my first 10 clients at $2,000 a month.
It's funny.
And I will grandfather you in. And we still have those clients that have been grandfathered in at that beta stage because I did not have any reps and I needed them for the reps.
I'm literally, it's funny, that what you just said is what I'm doing right now with my business.
Yeah.
So like Harvey, you know, Harvey, he's my beta client. I've got quite a few beta clients right now.
Yeah.
And I've kind of said, okay, my first 10 clients are going to be at this price and then I want to up it.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same because I want to make sure everyone is happy. And so if I have beta clients, I can work. And with Harvey, I've learned so much. I'm like, oh, he needs this. I need this system. And now that I'm actually ready to go, okay, I'm confident I can take on someone and get great results.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now I've got the confidence and I know I've got the track record because of the beta clients. Yeah. And obviously what we're talking about is very similar, but for anyone listening, like you've got to figure out how can you apply this to whatever you're doing? How can you maybe get an internship instead of going straight for the job, get an internship and learn, and you might get paid $100 a week or whatever. That's still, you know, but it doesn't matter the money.
That's another thing. It's not about the money. Like,
it's about the learning.
When I think about, like, you know, we hire a lot, and there's a big difference when someone understands how much the learning is worth as opposed to the
100%.
The wages or, you know, the superannuation or the package or any of that stuff. If that makes sense.
Oh, and when I got my job at Glenn, I knew that's what he wanted. And I went to him, I said, I don't care how much you're paying. Like, I want, like, this is really cool. I know I can fit this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he still paid me, which is
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
But if he hadn't paid me, I still would have done it. And I knew that's what he was looking for.
Yeah.
And same with me. If I, you know, I'm starting to look for someone,
yeah.
someone who can come in. It's like, I'm happy to pay them, but I want them to come in knowing that they right. might not get paid.
Sure.
Because right. yeah. I want that energy. And uh-huh. if you're listening to this going, how can I get a job? You need to go in with the same kind of energy saying, going in.
I think it's the attitude, right? I mean, don't...
attitude is everything.
Yeah. I think the empowerment attitude of, if I went and if I went and bartended, get $25 an hour, whatever the rate is right now. So this person has to pay me that minimum wage and I should get super, and if I'm being a contractor then I should double that, and we should, but so I see this a lot, right? Because we used to hire a lot of contractors initially, and you have really young people that would say, oh, in my other job at Bunnings I would get $25 an hour, so this is a contractor rate, so I want $45 an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, if I hire a contractor, they get me a result.
Yeah.
I'm not training them.
Yeah.
So don't be a jackass.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy how many people don't get that, and they think that they're being taken for a ride. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
But the other thing is, like, what's $25 at Bunnings is only gonna take you so far, but if they get $25 with you, they could, in a year's time, they've built a relationship with you. Now you're sending them clients every single week. Now they've got all this stuff coming in, but instead they were going, oh, but I want $45 now. He should be asking for 20 or 10.
But that's what I'm saying. I said, like, I'm like, you don't even know how to do what I'm asking you to do. I'm yeah. training you.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that you're worth $45 an hour. How did you do that math? And they have the math in front of them and they think it's justified.
Yeah.
So it's such an attitude thing, right?
And it's such a closed-minded way of doing business. It's like, the way I see business is, you know, if you can build relationships with people, if you can get in
yeah.
and, you know, don't devalue yourself.
Right.
And don't stay at $20 an hour. Right. But you go in with the understanding that you're going to work for 6 months at $20 an hour, because you're going to build a relationship, and then once he doesn't have to train you, he's relying on you, he'll pay you. I pay my agent in the Philippines so much more than the average rate, because I just know he's going to get it done. And I'm yeah. like, I don't want to deal with any of that
yeah.
training. I don't want to deal with having to review it. I know he's going to get it done.
Yeah,
and I'll pay
yourself 100%.
I'll pay double the price for that.
Yeah, easy.
And if
yeah.
you're going out there, getting an internship or whatever, it's kind of like, how can I learn and start bringing value to them so yeah. that it gets to a point where I actually am bringing a lot of, because at the beginning you're probably not going to bring that much value, because they're going to be training you,
right?
You're going to be training them, it's yeah. going to be annoying for you.
Yeah.
But after 2 or 3 or 4 months or whatever it is,
yeah,
then it's a big difference.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, what you just brought up, the whole, you know, these guys doing that, it's annoying, but I see it as a less competition.
I mean, yeah, there'll be a bunch of people that are more that are driven, not yeah. more driven, but driven. But then there'll be a bunch of people that are entitled.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between driven and entitled.
100%.
Yeah.
But we keep going into this imposter monster thing for young people. So let's say someone who's studying HSC, you grew up in New South Wales, Brisbane, I think it's different.
Yeah.
You know, you get your ATAR, you score out of 100. And I think people can get very, you know, attached to that thing. And I heard someone say the other day, I've interviewed, you know, thousands of guests, and one thing I've never asked is, what was your result? What was your high school result? What did you get? Because at the end of the day, I really don't think it's a huge deal. And so me and you are both in entrepreneurial space. And what would you say to someone who's kind of freaking out over their score and where they currently are right now, and to get into engineering, or, you know, to get into the degree they want to get into?
So I'm a bit different and unique in this scenario, because...
That's good.
Yeah,
because I like a variety of answers for this question.
I used to be an academic, because I wrote a thesis, and I've got 2 master's degrees. Mm. So but I also have to say that I went into my first business with 2 master's degrees, and it still failed.
Yeah.
One of them being a master's of business administration.
Right.
If you're freaking out, so I do think that I've learned a lot from academia.
Yeah.
And I think it's being disrespected by the people who don't go to school.
Yeah.
And don't go to university and don't do that. And,
yeah.
And, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. And what academia and that has taught me, I can see other people who have not gone, then they don't have that.
Mm.
And I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. I just know that I'm lucky that I have it. because I can take theory and I can strategize and I can do things that academics normally do, which make it more valuable.
Mm.
And it comes naturally to me.
But that's your personality. That's the way you learn. That's your personality, and you figure that out, right? It's like applying the academics that you've learned.
Yeah, I mean, I never really cared about my results. So, I mean, my parents cared more about what scores I got than I did.
Yeah, which is quite common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just knew the experiences I wanted to have. So, right through school, I was in the debate, allocution, general knowledge teams, and I was also in the badminton, basketball, football, and all those teams. Actually, to be honest, I was trying to fit in somewhere, and I didn't fit in either way. But it didn't. What I'm trying to get at is, my scores did not matter. I still had 2 master's degrees and 4 degrees and all that kind of stuff. So it's context, right? It's context of what you want to do and where you want to go. And when the restaurant shut, my in-laws and my parents and everyone else was like, "You got 2 master's degrees, go get a job."
Yeah.
And it would have been the easiest, possibly the easiest thing to do. And not to say I didn't get to have a job. The restaurant shut on Sunday. On Tuesday, I was a chef at the Bavarian Beer Cafe.
Mm.
So I had a job in 2 days.
Just to bring in money.
Oh, yeah, of course. You have to bring in money.
Yeah.
Like, you can't sit on your couch and kind of go, "I'm going to hope that I'm going to build a business that's going to bring me money." So, but I just had 5 jobs in 6 months, and it was just like, I'm unemployable. So what I'm trying to get at with your question is, stressing about it is not going to make it easier.
Mm.
Stressing about it is not going to make your score better. Stressing about it is not going to do anything. It's just like you sitting on a rocking chair. You're just fucking rocking.
Mm.
You think you're doing something, but you're not doing shit. You're not moving. It's just worthless energy being wasted.
And at the end of the day, I think after your degrees come, you know, even if you did fail, you'll find like, it won't matter. In 10 years' time, it's probably not going to matter.
No.
Because of the connections you've built.
But that's not the point. The point is that if you really care about your score, if you really care, do something to improve your score.
Yeah.
If you don't care about your score, stressing about it is not going to improve your score.
Yes. Okay. That's
what
point.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and both have, you learn shit both ways.
Yeah.
Just be prepared for the learning. That's
and
it.
What was the transition for you? So you were, you know, in uni doing academics, you said you got 2 masters.
Yeah.
What was the transition from kind of doing that style into starting your own business?
Yeah.
That must have been like a huge shift.
Well, my dad is the entrepreneur in the family, and I think he always thought that I was going to take over the business, and I did not want to be Richard's son, so I left home when I was 16, and I just wanted to be me and learn to be more myself. And it's crazy how that journey has unfolded, but I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. I just thought of myself as a 9-to-5 person. So
9-to-5 doing your own thing.
No, 9-to-5 having a job.
Yeah.
And then after I finished my first master's in software engineering, I got this job. I remember how much I got paid, $36,500 with tax for the year. Was my
with tax. Oh my god,
for the year. I had a master's of software engineering, so this is a really good sort of example of what we were talking about earlier. I had a master's in software engineering, but what I was getting was experience, and it didn't matter what money I was getting.
Yeah.
Anyway, they, in a year's time, I pitched them that I wanted to implement my thesis so that they could be bought over by a bigger company, which happened. They got ISO 9001 accredited. They got bought over by a company on the Canadian Stock Exchange. And overnight, I became global software quality manager. And I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know what my job meant. I didn't know any of that. So I was like, okay, there's no one to do software quality, so I suppose I'm the guy.
Yeah.
So.
And you'd proven it by bringing them value.
Yeah, for a 30-person company in Brisbane. And then they got bought over by a 400 and something person company that was in 6 time zones. So they said, hey, can you get us accredited? And they said, do you want to do any further studies? And I said, yeah, if you're paying, I'll do an MBA, which I did at QUT in Brisbane.
MBA is?
Masters of Business Administration.
Yeah, cool.
And yeah, I worked in the day, and I had night classes at 6 to 9, two or three times a week. And I remember my first class, it was management principles. There's a walking bridge that you walk across from the city to the campus. So I walked across that bridge, I attended that class, and I walked back, and I saw the whole world differently because I saw opportunity everywhere. So that degree kind of shifted my brain a little bit to see opportunities in places that I didn't see, notice them before, which awoken, I think, the entrepreneur inside me. But I didn't have any experience in entrepreneurship or business, so my imagination was quite weak in terms of what kind of business I could start. And I kind of thought, oh, you know, people have to eat, so you know, let's start a restaurant. And then I hired a head chef who trained me to get my chef degree while I was building that business. And it was definitely a big learning curve, because even though I had all the theory from my business administration degree, it's not the same when you're an entrepreneur and you 100%. Have to balance culture, team, operations, delivery, customer service, marketing, advertising,
yeah,
finance,
branding,
all these elements and pillars of business that we forget exist.
And that's another thing we were talking about recently was, you know, textbook, there's only so much you can learn in the textbook. Like, for example, my teacher in high school, when I did automotive, which was my major project, I basically rebuilt a motorbike. And so we were in the garage, he was like doing stuff, and he'd been in it, he'd been doing this for like 20, 30 years, and then he became a teacher to do it. And so he was great. He'd come over, he'd never worked on a motorbike before, but an engine's an engine, and he just knew what to do. And he's like, yeah, I've done motorbike, but you know, it's the principle of the same.
Yeah.
And then, and he was telling me about how all the new teachers that are coming underneath him, they never have done this. They just went to uni and they learned to the book.
Right, right.
They haven't actually got in.
Right.
And cars is a great example, especially this was a 1983 bike. Like, yeah, you can't, the amount of things that go wrong is unbelievable. The amount of nuts that won't come off, the amount of things that go wrong that you can't learn in a textbook, you can't learn from written work, and you have to learn by actually doing.
Yeah.
And the same as in entrepreneurship or anything, really.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can read manuals of how to swim.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you a good swimmer,
yeah,
or a swimmer in general. But it's astounding how many people start an Instagram account today and say, call themselves an influencer or an entrepreneur with no business. You know, it's time.
That's the world we're in.
Yeah.
But it's come to a point where like putting entrepreneur in your bio is like almost like, oh, shut up. So you're one of those guys.
Yeah.
Even though like you have a big, you know, audio marketing, so you've got a team and everything. You are a literal entrepreneur. Same with me. I've got an established company. I've got it's all. If you search in the Australian, you know, thing, my company name is there. It's everything. Like, I'm a technical entrepreneur, but I'm still ashamed to kind of put it in my bio because it's become this kind of cringy thing,
right,
of like, oh, you know, you're a self-help. You're always doing this stuff. You're an Instagram guru, you're a Facebook guru, or what, you're a guru, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's fascinating.
So that is a good point when it comes to being the imposter, right? So sometimes we let other people in the market make us feel like imposters, and I think that's important to pay attention to, because if who you are really as a person is a coach, and if you coach people and that's what you do and that's what your genius is and that's how you get people's results and all that kind of jazz, have no shame in calling yourself a coach, you know, or calling yourself an entrepreneur, or calling yourself, and if you truly believe that you're an entrepreneur, be the entrepreneur. But if you have that voice saying, dude, are you really? Pay attention, because that voice is probably coming from a place of where you have to pay attention. Every voice you've got to pay attention to.
Yeah. 100%. And it's good stuff. I think as I mentioned, before we wrap up, I'd like to ask this kind of one question.
Yeah.
It's a hard question, but what would your one piece of advice be for the younger generation coming out of high school, the world of social media, or the world of entrepreneurship that they're kind of entering, even in uni, you know, uni high school, what would you advise for them?
The most important thing is to be yourself. And what I mean by that is that you're still learning yourself. So you have to say what you feel so someone can challenge you on that, so you can refine what you really feel about certain topics. And it doesn't matter what age you are at, but especially if you're young, because, you know, coming from a place of I know it all is the quickest way for someone not to give you advice and you not take on any advice, especially. Yeah.
It's also, you know, I same with you. I meet people and they're, you know, 20, 30 years older than me, and they'll come to an event where they're one of the head speakers, but I'll sit down and I'll watch and learn from all the other speakers.
Always.
It's like all these people. So I'm going, okay, this is what these guys are doing. They're still learning. I'm 21. Why would I not be learning?
Yeah.
And because sometimes I've had that thing. It's like, oh, you know, I've been doing marketing for 2 years. Let's see what this guy has to say. But now I go in with the mindset like, okay, what can I learn? What can I learn from him?
Yeah.
And often they'll just simplify it. Like the other day I was at an event and I was like, what's going to teach me about marketing in 30 minutes? I don't already know. But he simplified it so much. I was like, oh, it's actually nice to see it.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah.
And I think, as you say, you can remove yourself from being cocky and you're always learning.
Yeah, 100%. And like an addendum to that is something that Paul Dunn said to me actually when in 2014, when I was launching We Are Podcast for the first time, and I had never put on a 2-person event, leave alone 300-person event that it landed up becoming, the first podcast conference in the Southern Hemisphere, really. The imposter monster was alive and well and loud, and especially in that time. But I did not run away from the fact that I had never run an event. But I was freaking out about it, and that voice was really loud. And Paul Dunn said to me, well, forget about what you think the success is going to look like. What kind of a person would Ronsley become if he just attempted that goal?
And how would you feel if you didn't do it? Would you be like, you know...
And it's really hard for anyone to give anyone else advice because you don't know their circumstances.
Exactly.
You know, and their circumstances are super important. So being who you are is probably key. And then, imagine what it would be like that if you attempted a certain goal, what kind of person would you become if you just attempted it? Forget if you achieved it. Like, it doesn't matter if you achieved it. Like, it doesn't matter if I run the half marathon. What kind of person would I become if I just attempted to run the half marathon?
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's what I reckon.
Yeah, awesome. And just want to touch on one more thing before you mentioned this age thing, which we were talking about earlier. Like, it doesn't matter what age you are.
Yeah.
I think that can often be a part of the imposter mantra for younger people. It's like, oh, I'm 22. I can't get a job here. I can't work for this person. You probably actually can. If you reach out to them and you say, hey, I want to come work for you for free and stuff, it blows
it's
my
not
mind.
Even free. It's not even, I mean, it's not even about the free.
I want to learn from you.
It is like if you approach someone with the attitude of, I'm here to learn.
Exactly.
Oh my God. You know, the amount of opportunities that will open up for you is going to be off the chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of some practical advice I say for people who think they're too young to be doing something. But you were talking about this, you know people who are 50 who don't have any experience, or someone who's 15 and has experience.
But I think what happens when you're young and you feel like, who am I to do this?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you're young or old, actually. If you're in the position where you think, who am I to do this? The chances of you faking shit goes through the roof, because then you start saying dumb shit. Like, you know what? My client is this person. Or you know what? I've done this. Or you start name dropping and you start, and it's evident. So you don't have that experience to just drop. Like, you can see how uncomfortable you are.
Yeah.
And that comes through to the other person. Whether you think you said it or not, they can feel it. So that is super important, because you're trying to fake some weird version of what success looks like for you.
And that's coming back to the whole fake it till you make it.
Right.
So maybe it should like learn it until you earn it sort of thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Learn it. Yeah.
Don't fake it till you make it. Learn it until you earn it.
I love that. Because, you know, how many people are paying like $10,000 just get a selfie with some influencer to say, hey, check this out. That person, they don't even know who you are. Like, are you kidding me?
I think, yeah, you feel good for maybe a day or two, but really it's like...
Yeah, I think the important message is, are you really doing it? Who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for yourself?
Or what people think of you.
Or for what people think of you, or what you perceive. Like, my whole life, Byron, I went from one achievement to the next, internally trying to please my dad or my mom or my parents.
Which is very common.
Which I didn't even know until I was 38 years old or 37 years old.
Are you saying this is a bad thing or a good thing?
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's just a thing to know, you know. I didn't know I was doing that. I didn't feel any of my success. Like, people would introduce me on stage and I'd be like, oh, that guy's cool. And then I would hear my name and go,
yeah, yeah. He's a TEDx speaker. He's an author. He's this. And it's like, oh, shit. That's me.
And then they say my name and I'll be like, oh, fuck, it's just me. But that has changed over the last few months. Just knowing that actually what I just wanted was my parents' approval.
Mm.
But it wasn't me who wanted it. It was my 8.5-year-old child inside me that wanted that approval.
Yeah.
And just that, like, has changed everything for me.
And, like, for me, because my parents do, you know, where I get along with my parents, they love what I'm doing, so it's easy for me to say that. But for someone who doesn't have that, for someone who's got parents who want you to go down a certain pathway, but you're going a different way.
It doesn't matter whether you get along with them or you don't get along with them.
Focus on yourself.
Because I promise you, there is elements of stuff that you don't even know yet, because you're not vulnerable enough to allow that to come to the surface yet. So just focus on you.
Yeah. 100%. No, I love it. And before we wrap up, where can people find you? Highly recommend listening to Psychology of Entrepreneurship, which they can just search on Google or search on the and podcasts.
Yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorite podcasts. Like, I'm not just saying that because you're here. Like, I'm sure I'm not just saying that because you're here, but like, I mean, it's not even a podcast, is it? We're calling it an audio documentary, which it is. Like, the production is...
Well, I'll tell you that, because I'm super excited to share this, actually. The steps and process is, like, the team first does 5 hours of research on the guests.
Yeah.
Then gives me a 1-hour piece of homework where I listen or read or consume that guest, like, profile. Then I go in person to wherever they are across the world and interview them in long form between 1 hour and 2 hours in person. That gets sent away to the audio team, who first clean up the whole thing, you know, background, half sentences and all that kind of jazz. And then that gets sent to content, who remove 20-minute highlights, which then gets sent to the transcriber that sends it to me, which I do a scripting over, narrate over, sends back to audio design team and sound design team, who put it together, and then show notes get done and content gets done. Yeah. And that is one volume.
And I think it pays off. Like, you can tell. I mean, compared to, like, you know, something like what I'm doing, because I'd love to do something like that, and to, you know, whenever I have the budget or the time, but like, I just need to get stuff
it's
out.
It's expertise,
and so this is,
dude. It's not budget. It's not time. Even if you had the budget and the time right now, if you don't have the expertise, and here's the problem: everyone is cocky. There'll be like doctors who say, "Oh yeah, I've interviewed people all the time. My patients come in. It's a very different interview." This.
Yeah.
I've done over 900 interviews and 3 podcasts to get to a point where this documentary is possible.
Yeah.
And agency and book and first podcast
and systems
conference
and
speaking and all these things to be able to have this audio documentary. So like, my platform is very different to anyone else. Don't take my thing and go, oh, he can do it. Like, other things that have happened to allow that to make.
Which is linking back to the iceberg thing.
Right.
This is, we're seeing the podcast, but we're not seeing the fight, you know, basically everything you've just talked about, you're telling us about, but yeah, people go check that out. I love it. Where else can people find you?
No, that's great. I
just
mean, I feel like, I started the podcast because more and more I was worried that, you know, a friend would come up to me and say I was struggling with the stuff that was going on in my head and I would have no answer for them.
Mm.
And I've lost enough friends to, who felt that this life was too hard for them. So, just put that all together and my scratching my own itch, it's like one of the best pieces of art that I've decided to do, because there is no end point to that. It's just like purely for the love of putting it out, and I think that
awesome.
Thank you, man. Thanks you for saying all those nice things.
No worries. Thanks so much for coming
on
the podcast.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
All right. If you are still here, thank you so much for listening to this entire episode. If you got some value out of it, it would mean the world to me if you left a review on iTunes or shared it with your friends or family. Otherwise, I'll be putting up videos of this episode on Instagram and Facebook, so check it out there at Byron Dempsey or at Driven Young Podcast, and I'll see you on the next one.